Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Arla Kuziz. Black St. Louisans living with sickle cell disease are hopeful that the new FDA-approved gene therapy treatments will bring them relief. However, many are questioning the accessibility, their costs, and risks.
I would never want to put something in my body or do something to my body that would cause me to be worse than I was before, because then I would regret it.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with African Americans in the area about the new sickle cell treatments. That's coming up on The Gateway. The Missouri House passed legislation Wednesday that would exempt remote workers from paying a 1% earnings tax in St. Louis if they don't live in the city. As St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Kellogg reports, some legislators say they should wait until a lawsuit on the tax is settled.
The bill passed by the House would exempt employees who work remotely in St. Louis from the earnings tax if they do not live in the city. Several remote workers sued St. Louis because the city denied them refunds on the earnings tax during the COVID-19 pandemic. While a lower court ruled against St. Louis, a decision from the Missouri Court of Appeals is pending. Representative Steve Butts, a St. Louis Democrat, said it's too soon to act on the issue.
If you have any conscience and said, hey, maybe we're the legislature, let's wait for the appellate court to make their decision, and at that point, win or lose, the city's going to have to comply.
Roughly 37% of St. Louis's general revenue is funded by the earnings tax. The next vote on the tax will be in 2026. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House also passed legislation Wednesday that would place marks on future state driver's licenses that would state if the holder is a U.S. citizen. Members voted 108-46 on the measure. No Democrat voted for it. The bill would require any Missouri driver's licenses or non-driver IDs issued in the future to have an additional mark that indicates if someone is a U.S. citizen. Representative Dan Stacey is the bill sponsor. The Blue Springs Republican said the goal is to decrease voter fraud in the state.
Election authorities will have at least one tool in their toolbox to verify citizenship and prevent non-citizens from voting.
With a little more than 7 weeks left in the legislature, the bill still has to get through the Missouri Senate. A St. Louis aldermanic committee has given its approval to a bill that would use federal money to pay the medical debt of tens of thousands of St. Louisans. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports the five-member Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee voted for the bill to go back to the full board.
The bill, introduced by 14th Ward Alderman Rasheen Aldridge, would allocate $800,000 of American Rescue Plan funds to forgive medical debts of those who qualify. Aldridge says the funds would likely be fielded by RIP Medical Debt, a nonprofit that buys medical debt in bundles for a discounted sum. The organization then pays off the debt. Aldridge says he believes RIP Medical Debt is the only organization that performs this service. He says forgiving medical debt could help raise credit scores for people in lower-income neighborhoods.
This would be $800,000 that would be going to medical debt. It's really a penny on the dollar.
The state of Arizona, Chicago, and other jurisdictions have worked with RIP Medical Debt to use ARPA funds to pay off medical bills. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The chief of staff for the Illinois agency that oversees the state's abused and neglected children says it has three immediate goals under a new director. Heidi Miller took over the Department of Children and Family Services last month. The Illinois Senate confirmed her last week. In the near future, Chief of Staff Jason Strokosh says the agency will focus on its workforce, updating its technology, and using a new system to evaluate their cases.
I imagine we'll have some more once she's gotten through her first 90 days or so and had a chance to really wrap her arms around a big, complicated state system like this.
Miller came from Illinois' Department of Juvenile Justice, where she'd been since 2016. About 100,000 people in the U.S. live with sickle cell disease, which disproportionately affects Black Americans. The FDA recently approved two cell-based gene therapy treatments for the blood disorder. Doctors and advocates believe the therapy could bring relief to the nearly 2,000 St. Louisans living with the disease. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Black St. Louisans with sickle cell disease are hopeful about the therapies, but have questions about their effects and price tag.
Gracious and eternal Father, we humbly and boldly come before your throne of grace.
Tanjala Bowden prays with two girlfriends every weekday morning at 6:40 a.m. They lift up family troubles, ask for guidance throughout the day, and pray for healing for themselves and others. The group of friends has been praying together since 2015. Just recently, on President's Day, Bowden was the center of their prayers. And if it wasn't for one of her prayer warriors, she might not be alive today.
As I was shredding papers and preparing to go to bed, I started to feel something weird, like fluttery in my left side of my chest. It was going down my left arm into my elbow and up into my jaw. I had never felt it before.
Bowden was having a mild heart attack.
I did not call 911. I called my sister, and she was at work, so she didn't answer, so I called my prayer sister.
Bowden is all too familiar with the excruciating pain of a sickle cell crisis, and her heart attack felt painless. The African-American mother of one inherited the blood disease, and it contributed to her recent heart attack. She was diagnosed with sickle cell anemia, a form of the disease, at 18 months old. Sickle cell disease is a disorder that causes the red blood cells to turn hard and sticky and look like the harvesting tool, a sickle. People with the disease can have a crisis at any moment if their blood vessels become blocked by the sickled cells. Fortunately, the FDA approved two new cell-based gene therapies in December for thousands living with the disease. While many believe Casgevy and Lyfgenia are advancements in sickle cell treatment, people like Bowden are hesitant to try the therapies.
I would never want to put something in my body or do something to my body that would cause me to be worse than I was before, because then I will regret it.
She wonders if the therapy will make her have more frequent crises as a side effect. Nevertheless, she's excited that there's a potential cure. On any given day, Rosemary Britz feels calls about the two therapies. Britz is executive director of Sickle Cell Association St. Louis. She says many people are concerned about how they will afford the $1 million treatment.
That's what I hear so much. Will my insurance pay for it? So there are about 60% of the individuals that live with sickle cell disease are on Medicaid. But you have others that do have private insurances, and are their insurance companies going to pay for it?
As for Tamika Watson, cost wasn't her concern. It was how soon could her son, who lives with sickle cell disease, get the treatment.
I was like, yes. Oh, okay, we getting it.
The 44-year-old mother of three was overjoyed when she saw the therapy announcement on the news. But her excitement was short-lived when her 17-year-old son, Malachi, told her,
I'm not doing it. It's too new. I can get cancer. He was like, no, count me out.
Two of 32 patients treated with one of the gene therapies, Lyfgenia, developed blood cancer, though the cause is uncertain. So instead, Malachi plans to get a bone marrow transplant in July. Watson says her son just wants to be free from his frequent sickle cell crises, and he believes that he can count on the transplant to do so instead of the therapies, since they haven't yet been proven a widespread success. The stakes are high for the new gene therapies, and many African Americans in the region with sickled cells are desperate for relief, but aren't yet sure if they're worth it. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kaziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.